there's something about that name. Jesus, 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 there's just something about. Christy, would you lead us in our opening prayer?
Gracious God, we feel blessed. As 2023 ends, we realize that we have so much, homes to live in and plentiful food to eat. We have opportunities to earn. We have freedom to learn your ways and live as your Son taught us. Yet, at another level, we see the world in disarray. We see our young men and women fighting in faraway wars, as many of our leaders are sinful. They argue over immoral issues, and they refuse to listen to your ways. We need your grace to surround us. We need your Spirit to move us from self-interest to compassion. We need to move from the need to be right to the place of doing right. We need your love that is from the foundation of creation. We need your love that bonds us together as brethren in your family to spread out like roots and bring life and healing and holiness and wholeness to places cracked and broken. We desire that your ways be seen in our lives, O Lord. We remember the way your Son taught us to pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Good Sabbath. Pastor Michael in the back row of Baptist, I didn't know where you'd sit. Let us begin with prayer. That's a great place to begin and end. Let's pray together. Lord, I thank you for this Sabbath. I thank you for this family, this church, this congregation who you have planted in Dunedin, Florida. And I thank you that my family is here and that we have come alongside in this season. And Lord, I thank you for the privilege to speak and to share here. And we just ask that you would open our hearts, that we would hear your message and your encouragement as we spend this time together. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So who you are, know who you are. That's the important part. Know who you are. Let's read. I'm going to read this. To you, I have this. Let's see how that works. Now, don't focus on that. That's only there if you need something to look at. I'm just going to read this from the Passion Translation, which is why I went ahead and put it in print, not expecting you to follow along, but I'd rather you'd follow something than to take a nap right now. So I'll do my best with my reading. And if you want to follow on the screen, you can follow. This will be a reading of Isaiah 49, and we'll go at least through 16, I believe. All right. The Passion Translation again, Isaiah 49. Listen to what I have to say, you islands. Pay attention to me, you who live in distant lands. Yahweh called me as his own before I was born and named me while I was still in my mother's womb. He gives me words that pierce and penetrate. He hid me and protected me in the shadow of his hand. He prepared me like a polished arrow and concealed me in his quiver. He said to me, Israel, you are my special servant. In you I will be glorified. I said, I have worked and served for nothing. I have used up all my strength for nothing. Yet my rights I leave in Yahweh's hands, and my just reward is with my God. And now the Lord Yahweh, who shaped me in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob's tribes back to him, that Israel would be gathered back to himself, for I am honored in the sight of Yahweh. I find the source of all my strength in my God, who says, Is it too small a thing for you, my servant, to restore greatness to Jacob's tribes, to the survivors of Israel? I will make you to be a light to the nations, and to bring the light of my salvation to the ends of the earth. Verse 7. Yahweh, how are we doing? You let me know if that needs to go somewhere. Verse 7, Yahweh, Israel's kinsman redeemer and Holy One, says to the one who is deeply despised and repulsed by rulers and a slave to the ruling class, kings will see and stand up in respect. Princes will bow down to honor the faithfulness of Yahweh, the Holy One of Israel who has chosen you. Verse 8, Yahweh says, When the time of showing you favor has come, I will answer your heart's cry. I will help you in the day of salvation, for I have fixed my eyes on you. I have made you a covenant people to restore the land and to resettle families on forgotten inheritances. You will declare to prisoners, you are free, and to those in darkness, step out into the light. They will be like sheep that graze beside the roads and find pasture on the barren hillside. They will never be hungry or thirsty. Neither scorching sun nor desert wind will hurt them, for He, the Loving One, will guide them and lead them to restful, renewing streams of water. Verse 11, I will level all my mountains as a road for them and raise up my highways. Look, they will come from faraway lands, some from the north, some from the west, and some from the land of Sinim. Sing for joy, you heavens. Shout, you earth, and rejoice with dancing, shouting in glee. Burst into joyous songs, you mountains, for Yahweh has comforted his beloved people. He will show tenderness and compassion to his suffering ones. I will stop there for now. 13. We'll see where we go. So my first question, these are questions I will answer, but I'll just ask them to you. Why did I choose this passage? Pastor Michael invited me to speak a couple weeks ago, so I knew this was coming. And my experience in preaching, if you will, or teaching in the past is, where in the world or what in the world do I teach on? Is a great first question. Thankfully, in our household, we've been reading Genesis, and just happened to one evening read this passage in Isaiah 49. And I was just listening. I think Micaiah was reading, and I was just kind of present. It's 8 o'clock at night. And he just begins, and he says, verse 1, which we can go back. I got a helper over there. Let me go back here. Listen to what I have to say, you islands. Pay attention to me, you who live in distant lands. Yahweh called me as his own before I was born and named me while I was still in my mother's womb. And verse 2, as he went on, he gives me words that pierce and penetrate. And where are we? What's he reading? This is Isaiah. It sounds like something I'm familiar with. And he said, I'm in Isaiah 49. And he got into verse 9. It says, you will declare to prisoners, you are free, and to those in darkness, step out into the light. I'm like, this is all familiar. So it's good that some passages in Scripture are familiar. Sometimes you know there's cross-referencing in Scripture. But here's why that sounded familiar to me as I considered that. It happened to be before Micaiah came into the world. So whoever knows where they were in 2005, you boys know where you were, which wasn't here yet. Same with my son. And in 2005, I had been part of a leadership seminar training, if you will. It happened to be in San Diego. Family was able to come with me. We were blessed to go to, it's called Paradise Point. I just thought of it. I'm missing the word. Lagoon Cove. There you go. Paradise Cove in San Diego. It was very near the, not the zoo, but SeaWorld in San Diego. And while I was spending my time at these conferences, my family was spending their time at San Diego, whatever I just said, the SeaWorld. SeaWorld. But here's what happened during that training. We were challenged to write down a statement that basically is sums up what you're all about. And again, this is leadership training, etc. Some people, and we were learning positive. There's a lot of positive talk. There's coaching. There's encouragement. Some people wrote things like, I am a compassionate, loving provider for my family. Or some would say, I'm a bold influencer and a strong leader. And they were just called on. What are three? I remember part of that was, what are three, basically, I am statements? What can you convince yourself that you are? And I was, it's just interesting what I wrote, I think, which goes right back to Isaiah, or to, Isaiah 49. Luke 4, verses 18. I'll just read this. Let me, I've got a whole passage. Let me figure what order I want to do here. Luke 4, verse 18. So I end up writing a verse. I write out a scripture instead of a colorful, confident, I'm a world changer, or I'm a whatever. I'm like, you know what? There's this scripture that comes to mind. And so I'm reading in Luke. My cross-reference was Luke verse 4. And today, after my research, and you're soon going to find out, that what is happening in Luke 4 is a reflection on what was going on in Isaiah. So I'll unwrap that in a second. Luke 4, verse 18 says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to announce release, like pardon or forgiveness, to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, downtrodden, bruised, or crushed by tragedy. So without getting into why in the world I wrote that down as my personal mission statement, I was feeling in that moment a call. Like, this is for us. This isn't just Isaiah who says that in a prophetic utterance, as Pastor Michael said, that Isaiah is speaking about salvation and Jesus coming and Jesus being our salvation and what gets things back in order. Isaiah, in his context, was speaking to the tribes of Israel and Jacob. They were had been exiled already at that point, so they were no longer home. They were out and about. How can we relate with Isaiah, the messenger? Would we look at verse 4 or verse 5? And I don't think, I'll just let you cheat and come up to my notes here. This is super small. I'll know better next time. Listen to what I have to say. Here we go. Number 2. You can help me follow along. How would we relate with Isaiah? This is how I related to what Micaiah is sharing at home. I'm like, wow, he just said exactly what I wrote in my mission statement from what is now 20 years ago, as crazy as that seems. We step into 2024 tomorrow. This was around 2004 like, wow, 20 years ago, I felt in my spirit something like Isaiah felt, which was that the Lord knew me and had a purpose for me. Verse 4, as we relate to Isaiah as a messenger, he says in verse 4, I have worked and served for nothing. I have used up all my strength for nothing. Yet my rights I leave in Yahweh's hands, and my just reward is with God. And I feel like sometimes I feel that way, that you tried, and this again, this is, I believe this is Isaiah speaking and sharing his heart and talking to God. He's like, I have said these things. He's giving him sharp words. He's giving him tough language. And Isaiah was to speak all this to the nation and the leaders, and he was not well received. He was even cast out. Isaiah himself was put away from the people. So there's times I feel like I've tried, and I've tried, or I've spoken, or I've shared, and that you may not get anywhere. Sometimes you can be discouraged. Verse 5 turns right around and says, and now the Lord Yahweh, who shaped me in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob's tribes back to him, that Israel would be gathered back to himself, for I am honored. He recognizes that he's honored in the sight of Yahweh, and he says, I find the source of all my strength in my God. Isaiah's purpose was to deliver a message, one that was hard for them to accept. As I mentioned, he wasn't well received within his people group. The people didn't know that. It was hard to believe what he said. A lot of his message was like, you're up until this part in Isaiah, he's talked about the condemnation and the persecution that would come because they're not following God. But then it turns around and says, but he has a plan to redeem you, and you're going to be brought back home. I'll just jump to verse 17, one of those examples. He says, your children, your builders, are running back to you as those who ruined and destroyed you are running away. Lift up your head and look all around. See all your children, your builders, they gather to come back to you. As surely as I live, I make this promise, says Yahweh. You will wear them all like jewels, as a radiant bride wears the beautiful jewelry. This is all things Isaiah's voicing at a time when everyone is scattered. This didn't happen in Isaiah's time, and that's another challenge. He's saying all this stuff, and it's not even going to happen in his own. He's not going to see it happen. So how do you keep doing what you're called or created to do? How do I continue to go on? These verses, let me share about this cross-reference. I, like I said, thought without studying further that I was quoting Luke 4. When in Luke 4, Jesus is quoting Isaiah. So it's fun to grow, and this is as good an audience as any to explain that stuff. I don't get that. When I was the kid, even up until I was the 30-year-old or 40-year-old, until you start to piece all this puzzle together, I was very familiar and am with stories, Bible stories. What are these lessons? So I'm going to read this part from Luke and then point it back to Isaiah, just to teach around how this connection is and what's going on. And then we're going to wrap it up back with ourselves and what do we do about that. So Luke 4, I will see if I have that. Again, not really meant for you to stare at. Okay. All right. This is more for me. Some of you with good eyes can see that. Luke 4, for whoever's listening, which is the audience, not in this room, to be clear. Jesus begins his ministry. This is Luke 4, and it's verses 14 through 30. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and a report about him went throughout all the surrounding country. He taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. So this was a good time. This is actually right when Jesus had gone out and been baptized and was in the wilderness. he comes back and seemingly has a good reception. So that's when he's in Galilee and the surrounding country. That's kind of short and sweet. He taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. Now, he ends up in Nazareth. Anybody know what was special about Nazareth? You remember? You can throw out some feedback. Pastors included. What's Nazareth? What happened there? That's his hometown. Okay. Verse 16. He came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. As was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. So basically, up until this point, it's kind of what we do, right? Come to church. Grandpa says, hey, you want to read this for me, daughter-in-law and grandkids? And you read the word, and you do a great job, is right. But here, so Jesus is in Nazareth. That's where he grew up. The point is, that's home. This is his home church. He's done this before. But he's been on a little vacay, right? You got to understand, he went away and had this experience, his baptism and his activation into ministry. He travels a bit, and then he comes back to Nazareth. So you come back after a while, and here's what happens. He was in the synagogue on Sabbath. He stood up to read. And the scroll, this is verse 17, the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. So you can picture this. You guys watched your movies of whatever, Indiana Jones, that's new and old. But a scroll, something, you can picture a scroll. Here you go, Jesus. Here's the scroll of Isaiah. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written. This hopefully sounds familiar. This is verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Now, as I shared, that sounded familiar. There's all these bits and pieces of that aren't even Isaiah 49. That came from Isaiah 60. So Isaiah said that more word for word in Isaiah 60. I'm in Isaiah 49, but I'm hearing the same theme, if you heard that in the front. Listen to what I have to say. Pay attention. Yahweh called me as his own before I was born, and he named me. He gives me words that pierce and penetrate. It's other verses and verses I may not even got to that sound like what I wrote on my declaration in 2000, I think, 5 or 6 to be accurate, that said, he has called me. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he's anointed me to proclaim good news. He sent me to proclaim liberty to captives, recovery of sight to the blind. So here's the fun part. And he says, proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And this is Jesus reading, just like I was reading. And he rolls up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant. He sat down. Jesus had sat down. The eyes of all the synagogue were fixed on him. He began to say to them, today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Jesus is suggesting that it's him. What Isaiah was writing about and what they've written or read and shared from time to time is him. That's me. But there's a problem, because he's in his own hometown. In his hometown, let me go on, it's in here. He says to this local people, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. You probably need a retake. What? You go back. All spoke well of him and marveled at the gracious words that were coming from his mouth. Sounds good. But they said, is this not Joseph's son? And he said to them, doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, something else, scripture, physician, heal yourself. What we have heard you did at Capernaum, do it here in your hometown as well. And he said, Jesus replied, truly I say to you, no prophet is acceptable in his hometown. But in truth I tell you, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heavens were shut 3 years and 6 months, and a great famine came over the land. Elijah was sent to none of them, but only one, in the land of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. And there were many lepers in Israel at the time of Elisha. None of them were cleansed, but only one, Naaman the Syrian. When they heard these things, all in the synagogue were filled with wrath. That's no fun. Here's a major turn of events where you're there, and 2 minutes ago, they said they're all just filled with awe and marveled at his gracious words and said, wow. And then he explains that his, who he is and what he's going to do, and basically that he would not be accepted even in his own town. So suddenly, the synagogue, they were filled with wrath. They rose up and drove him out of the town. They brought him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built so they could throw him down the cliff. How's that for a welcome home? But passing through their midst, he went away. So even reading this today, I'm kind of like, maybe I shouldn't have made that my life my life verse, even if it was 20 years ago. Wow, I wanted that call. I'm like, Lord, you've called me for something. I want to leave this conference ready to go change the world and share the gospel and the fun stuff. Where's that at? Proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind. All the things Jesus did and more, which he tells us we can do. And then I got through this and I'm like, ooh, that may not end very well. But he got through that. So where are we now? How does this apply to us? Let me get in order here. How do we keep going? How did he keep going? That was early. That's like he just came home from being baptized and they wanted to chuck him over the hill. So that would have been a short ministry period. So that wasn't the plan, and he just mysteriously, miraculously walked on about his business. So that's good stuff. I think, and I know, that God wanted relationship with us from the beginning. That's why these, and there's others, we could jump around in scripture, who knew who. Didn't David say that? You knew me in my mother's womb. Jeremiah said the same thing. When I looked it up, because I'm Googling, who said they were born, or you knew me before, or who did that? It's to Jeremiah. That's how Jeremiah opens his own message. Very similar, but this is Isaiah saying this. And it's Jesus saying this. And I think we can say that. I said that 20 years ago. You knew me before I even was known to anyone else. So I would like to share that each one here is known as well. He told us how to live well. He's demonstrated redemption when we didn't follow his direction. This is Isaiah. This is Israel, this is Jacob, this is us, this is Nazareth, this is fast forward to today. He has demonstrated redemption even when we don't follow. History repeats itself. There's not fun scripture to go through Judges, I think, that talks about this reign of following God and this reign of not following God, and the next reign of following God and the following king that fell on his face. And they said, boo-hoo for us, help us. And they rise up, and they say, life is good. We'll abandon this God, and we'll forget. And we do the similar cycle. Rebellion, redemption. Rebellion, redemption. Jesus came and was here for a short time, but he has accomplished his mission. He demonstrated more love and more compassion. He showed us what the Father's heart really was. He says, hang out with me. So be my people, and I'll be your God. That's how God started long ago. And I am not far off. I am right here. The Holy Spirit came after Jesus had ascended and died, and then he returned to heaven. The Holy Spirit came, as Pastor Michael shared, to dwell inside everyone whom God has called and who accepts him. So there's choices. Some things today I think that are troublesome is self. So maybe self is part of the equation. Self-worth, we try to value our self-worth. Some are just seem selfish, concerned with their own business. Self-pride, I've dealt with pride before. Self-centered and selfie. I don't know how that made the list. Anyway, sorry. When I choose to yield, I think choice is involved. We need to choose to yield. And when I choose to follow, and when I choose to obey is not bad. Obedience is not legalism. Trust and obey, we sing that song. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. So I believe it's our choice. When I am yielded to him, I am happy in Jesus. When I am following him, I am happy in Jesus. And when I am obeying him, all 10 commandments, I am happy in Jesus. So it's not about whether we're fulfilled or happy or on track. And it's not our circumstances. But I think it's a choice that we have to make. Lord, I thank you for encouraging us. I thank you for 20 years ago putting a message in front of me that was like a burden and a desire to go into all the world and to share. And Lord, I've seemingly been slow to respond, but you've used us along the way. And just want to encourage any listener that you're faithful, and that you're faithful to the end, that you've not forgotten us, that you do know each one of us from the beginning of time, and that you love us and you have a good plan for us. So we thank you for that reminder today. We thank you that Jesus succeeded and is on the throne today, and at the same time he's closer than any brother. So thank you, Lord, for the message, and we just pray that we would walk out refreshed and comforted, knowing that you know us and that we are privileged to know you. We thank you and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.